Welcome to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Now that another winter has passed, it feels good to get outside for fresh air and exercise. We'll be talking about some of the best places for a spring hike or walk this hour. We're going to begin with the Buckeye Trail. The trail is more than 1,400 miles and reaches every corner of the state. What began in the 1950s as a trail from the Ohio River to Lake Erie has now evolved into a large loop around the state of Ohio. The trail is currently under consideration to become a designated National Scenic Trail. Here to give us an update on that process is Andrew Bashaw, Executive Director of the Buckeye Trail Association. Andrew, welcome back to All Sides.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
So as I said, the Buckeye Trail is a loop around the state. Does it have a starting point?
It's the strangest thing to have a loop trail with both a beginning and an end.
That's because a circle doesn't have a beginning. Yeah.
Started off in 1959, that line from Lake Erie to the Ohio River near Cincinnati, and then we decided to make it a loop trail, and those artifacts of a northern terminus and a southern terminus still exist on the Buckeye Trail as part of our network. So we're the only loop I know that has a beginning and an end, but you can start anywhere on the Buckeye Trail.
Okay, so you can start at the beginning, which would be, okay, but you can start anywhere. So we had you on before to talk about the National Park Service conducting this feasibility study to make the Buckeye Trail a National Scenic Trail. Can you give us an update? Where are we in the process to becoming a National Scenic Trail?
The phase of stakeholder input gathering by the National Park Service feasibility study team has closed, and so public comment is closed. Now the feasibility study team, which is made up of National Park Service employees, is doing their research to fine-tune the document that they will hand to their superiors, ultimately up to the Secretary of the Department of the Interior. And then by next spring, 2026, the study will be handed over to Congress for their consideration.
Now, there's a lot of talk of a lot of things going on at the federal level with a lot of different departments changing, you know, a lot of departments closing, people losing their jobs. Are you at all worried about your study and the becoming a National Scenic Trail getting disrupted and all of that?
I'm not worried. I'm optimistic. Our study is a relatively small thing in the federal budget, and the team is made up of, you know, 5 to 10 employees and is well underway, and I see it going through as planned and delivered to Congress. Everything else, I wish any of us knew how it's all going to pan out, but we do pay attention because the federal budget affects our partners more directly than it affects the nonprofit Buckeye Trail Association at this time. And we want all of our partners to, you know, be there to work with us on all of our partner projects.
Okay. Yeah. What are some of your partners that, like, are you talking about like the National Park?
We're partnered with the National Park Service and the North Country National Scenic Trail and Cuyahoga Valley National Park, Dayton Aviation National Heritage Area, the Wayne National Forest, Army Corps of Engineers. So we have lots of different federal partners in different ways, but primarily it's land manager or trail host of the Buckeye Trail in Ohio.
Okay. Now, we can talk more about your organization being a nonprofit in a minute, but what would it mean to Ohio to have a National Scenic Trail? Like, why go through this whole process if it's like multi-year, involves an act of Congress? What is that? Why do it?
There are currently 11 National Scenic Trails, and the first two were the Appalachian Trail and the Pacific Crest Trail in 1968. And so primarily for a Buckeye National Scenic Trail, it's about building awareness and promoting the trail experience so that we can get more people out to the core piece of our mission, which is we want you to go outside and discover the authentic and uniquely Ohio experience out there on this unifying experience marked by the Blue Blazes. So more people know about it, more people use it. That was our mission from day one. The secondary part is potential for funding so that we can fund the programs that will go right back into improving the Buckeye Trail experience, such as more volunteer trainings, more personal protective equipment, and materials for volunteers to build and use out there on the trail, and that sort of thing. So ultimately, I try to remind folks that it's about providing a better Buckeye Trail experience for everyone to enjoy.
You mentioned the words blue blazes. What does that mean? What's a blue blazes? Is it like the phrase, what in the blue blazes?
It may be related. We do use that in jest sometimes. But the blue blazes for the Buckeye Trail are 2 inches by 6 inches. It's the standard for the long distance hiking community. Then you follow those 2 inch by 6 inch.
Oh, the marks on the trees.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I just caught up with you. I'm sorry.
That's all right. So our volunteers blaze that trail. Usually they're out there all by themselves with a can of blue blaze paint. And I just imagine, as I have, that when they paint it up there, they're thinking of the thousands of people that are going to come and experience the trail thanks to following those blue blazes all the way around the state of Ohio.
Okay, because this is not it's partially curated trail, but it's not like this is not a paved trail. Like you are in the woods, you have to like follow the path, right?
Yep. Our primary trail use that we promote is hiking. So primitive hiking trail, mm-hmm. It's usually 2 feet wide that we build, but we make the best use of all the other trails that we can around the state of Ohio. So you'll see in western Ohio that we were there in the formation of the Little Miami Scenic Trail. It has since become a paved multi-use bike path, mm-hmm. connecting Cincinnati to Springfield. Mm-hmm. And the Buckeye Trail uses that, as well as canal towpaths like the Ohio and Erie Canal Way and the Miami and Erie Canal towpath in western Ohio. So we make good use of those, and they're authentic, historical places where people can learn more about how Ohio became to be the state it is, whether it be an abandoned railroad or a canal built in 1835. And so it's all that unique and varied experience all the way around that gives you that full, you know, Buckeye Trail experience.
Now, you had a series of public meetings. We mentioned that earlier. You had this public comment period where people could make comments on why the Buckeye Trail should become a National Scenic Trail. Mm-hmm. And then you had meetings as well. How did those go?
They were very well attended. I think we impressed everyone with a short notice that we had, I believe, over 400 to 500 people that showed up in person for these meetings. There were 5 of them, 1 in Cuyahoga Valley, 1 in Athens, Dayton, Cincinnati, Napoleon. And people came out during bad weather to voice their opinion.
Yeah, you had January meetings about hiking. Yeah, yeah, that's
January
fun.
Meetings on weekdays.
Oh,
in
okay.
The evening.
So people could just like stand up and say why they love the Buckeye Trail. Is that what the meetings were for?
They had a process. You could say any kind of comment that you want, but they directed folks primarily to submit their comments in writing online so that they were guaranteed to be there rather than, unquoted in a verbal setting. So so they had a good process, and I'm not sure how many comments were submitted online in comparison to those that showed up in person.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about getting outside and enjoying a spring hike, specifically on the Buckeye Trail for this segment with Andrew Bashaw, Executive Director of the Buckeye Trail. Now, if approved, the Buckeye Trail will be the 5th longest national scenic trail in the country. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that it would receive some resources to make the hiking experience a little better. What would you hope to do if you had your pipe dream of money?
Oh, wow. Well, our mission is to build, maintain, protect, and promote the enjoyment of Ohio's 1,450-mile state trail. And so if I had all the money in the world, I would primarily use it in support of our volunteer program and supporting volunteers who want to give back to the trail that they love. And that's near and dear to my heart. That's how it started off in 1959. A small group of people decided that they want to build a trail that they could hike themselves. They weren't going to wait for somebody else to provide it for them. And so we have lots of passionate people in Ohio that want to do the exact same thing. And I want them to have the tools, the resources, the training, the skills that they need to put their desire to give back to everybody else in Ohio, give them an opportunity to do that. Other than that, you know, part of our mission to protect the trail is about creating a corridor all the way around a state like Ohio is complicated. There's lots of varied land ownership, and there's lots of private land ownership, and we've had great success over the last 66 years negotiating with private landowners and public land managers to route the Buckeye Trail off of roads and onto a more native, primitive footpath experience. So it takes a lot of money to do either one of those things and to sustain it over time. So it's not about the dollar amount. It's about consistent and evolution and improvement over time is what we're looking for.
And I said earlier that it's, is it 1,400 miles? Is that right?
Yes. Okay. 1,454 miles.
Okay. So if someone wanted to do the whole trail and I don't know, an average hiker, how long would it take you?
There's several different ways to hike the entire Buckeye Trail. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have that desire to complete it, every inch of it. And the most popular way is day hiking it in pieces, mm-hmm. and that could take as many years as it takes.
Yeah.
Another way is section hiking it, and we have a program called circuit hiking where we organize the completion of the Buckeye Trail in segments, and so you can go online and find out where our next circuit hike is to join that group as they try to complete the whole Buckeye Trail. And then the most romantic, the pictures that you see on posters of the Appalachian Trail is the through hike,
yeah.
to do it all in one go. I used to say that it took about 3 months to hike that far, that fast. But with the evolution of fastest known times, people are challenging themselves to see how fast they can do long-distance trails. And so our current record is 35 days,
wow.
which is more like trail running than hiking.
Okay. So someone ran it for a month, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. But that wasn't you?
No, that was not me.
Okay.
I'm more of a wanderer.
A wanderer. But I'm assuming that you've done the whole thing just over the course of a long time.
I have not. As the executive director of a nonprofit, I get to see more of it than most, but I get to see the worst parts that we need to fix. I get to see the best parts that we need to highlight.
They take you out and tell you to hike on this part where it's falling apart so you will send people there to fix it, right? All right.
Exactly.
If there's someone who has never hiked, likes to stay indoors, what would you say to encourage them to give the Buckeye Trail a try?
It's likely that even if they think they haven't, they may have been on the Buckeye Trail once or twice in their lifetime. Those blue blazes at Hocking Hills State Park are the same blue blazes at Cuyahoga Valley, Little Miami, Miami Area Canal, and I'm sure they may have passed them, crossed them. If they like to walk for a variety of reasons, whether it be to explore something, we have events that we create for that user group that is not comfortable going out on their own for the first time, but needs a little bit of hand-holding or a 101 or an introduction. Mm-hmm. And so coming up, we have Morel Fest at our Bell Farmstead on Tappan Lake in the Muskingum Lakes region of Ohio. And that's April 25th. For those who also like the challenge of hunting for the elusive morel mushroom, we'll walk along the Buckeye Trail. It'll be interpreted. There'll be a variety of different places to go. There'll be education about mycology and morel mushrooms, and also it will be fun. That could be a nice introduction for an individual or a family not quite certain about that region of Ohio or about hiking. It's volunteers are there to assist. And for other folks looking for more of a front country experience, we have on the same weekend a hike scheduled with the Ohio River chapter of the Buckeye Trail in the Loveland area. So back on that Little Miami Scenic Trail, the multi-use bike path, that might be somebody's first introduction from going from one town to the next in a short distance on the Buckeye Trail. For folks that are ready for a challenge, a physical challenge, we have the Emma Grandma Gatewood Solstice Hike over the summer solstice.
Did you call it Emma Grandma?
Yep.
Okay.
Grandma Gatewood, one of the founding members of the Buckeye Trail Association and the first female solo thru-hiker of the Appalachian Trail, and she was from Ohio. So we honor her and her story by having our own challenge, challenging ourselves like she did. She also hiked the AT three times.
So hike like grandma.
Hike like grandma at the Eggs Hike, and that's at ODNR's Baroque State Park and Way National Forest's Wildcat Hollow. Over the summer solstice weekend.
Okay. Well, that is Andrew Bishaw, Executive Director of the Buckeye Trail, and he is going to stay with us because coming up, we're going to talk more about the best of spring hiking in Columbus with the Columbus and Franklin County Metro Parks and also throughout Ohio with our state parks. So that's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News. This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube, but what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY. Baking cookies is not just a winter or holiday activity. From Mother's Day gifts to wedding cookie tables, baking is a year-round endeavor. We'll get some tips from an expert on how to make the perfect sugar cookie. And then, now is the time to plan your vegetable garden. We'll get some tips on the best way to grow food in your own backyard. That's tomorrow on All Sides with Amy Jurevich, from 10 to noon on 89.7 NPR News. You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. We're talking about some of the best places for a spring hike or walk this hour. And while the Buckeye Trail, which we talked about in the last segment, does not run through Central Ohio, Columbus and Franklin County Metro Parks have locations close by where you can get out and enjoy the spring weather. Plus, Ohio is home to 76 state parks, which offer a variety of trails, activities, lakes, lodging, and more. So joining us now in the studio is Tim Maloney, Executive Director for Metro Parks. Thanks for being here, Tim.
Hey, thanks for having us today.
And also joining us by Zoom is Colleen Sharkey, Assistant Manager for the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. Thank you, Colleen.
Oh, good to be here. Thanks.
And also still with us, Andrew Bashaw, Executive Director of the Buckeye Trail Association. Thanks again for being here, Andrew.
Thank you, Amy.
Listeners, we want you to join the show today. We want you to tell us your favorite spring hike in Ohio. Tell us your favorite place to go to get outside now that we've said goodbye to winter. You can join us by calling 614-292-8513. Or send us an email at allsides@wosu.org. Again, that's 614-292-8513. So, Tim, Metro Parks have many trails to choose from, and I'm going to make you pick your favorite because I can. What is your favorite spring hike in the Metro Parks?
So, I have an easier time picking my favorite child than I do my favorite trail.
Oh, okay.
But you made it specific. So springtime, let's go with today. There might not be a better trail than the Bluebell Trail at Three Creeks right now because the bluebells are in bloom, very convenient, close to the parking lot, really accessible to anybody can get to the Bluebell Trail. The only challenge you might have after a day like today is a little bit muddy on the trail. But there is no favorite, but that's a spectacular one today.
Yeah. And Colleen, I'm going to bring you in. I mentioned that Ohio has 76 state parks. Can you pick a favorite for the spring?
Oh, gosh. Again, same. Really hard to pick a favorite. But if we're talking about spring and wildflowers, I might suggest the John Bryan State Park and the adjacent Clifton Gorge Nature Preserve. You can take a hike along the North Rim Trail. There's a lot of wildflowers that are in bloom right now. You're also right at the treetop line to see migrating birds that are through the area coming through the Little Miami River. And when you're standing there on that North Rim Trail, you're just kind of that eye view. You can see the birds and see the wildflowers at your feet.
And Andrew, is there a favorite part of the Buckeye Trail for you in the spring? Whenever the winter finally we shake it off, what part of the Buckeye Trail do you head to?
I think any part of the Buckeye Trail is great. It is one trail, so I can just say it's the Buckeye Trail. But I would say in spring, there's a known place, Fort Hill, owned by the Ohio History Connection. The Buckeye Trail goes through where there's a hilltop enclosure from the early Native Americans. The wildflowers there are amazing, and you can also make it a two-stop trip by going to the Great Serpent Mound nearby, following the Buckeye Trail.
No, so can you get to the Serpent Mound from the Buckeye Trail? Does it go through there?
You just follow the Blue Blazes from one to the other. There's just a little bit of road walk in between those two sites.
I'm learning so much about Blue Blazes today, yes. Okay, so for each of you, we'll just go one by one. I wanted to talk about moving on from I called it the yuck of winter and into spring, but from a maintenance standpoint, I have to think that there's a lot that goes into place whenever you have to clean up the parks from winter into spring. Tim, let's start with you. Can you tell me about spring cleanup?
Well, with Metro Parks, we're only open every day. So we're out there every day on the trail, but we face the same challenges as Andrew or Colleen. It is a challenge. Anything can happen at any time. And a great example is the storm that moved through Ohio 2 days ago. We were out clearing trees, clearing trail all the time. We're going to get several inches of rain over the next few days. Some of our trails will be underwater during that time. And then once the water recedes, we have to be out on the trail clearing debris and some of our trails clearing mud off the trail.
Yeah. And so do you communicate social media wise whenever a part of the trail has to be closed, or do you put signs up, or what's your tactic there?
Very active on social media from a district standpoint, as well as each individual park will post. But we also have a Twitter feed that is focused that is focused just on our trails. And they'll give trail updates up to the minute when our rangers or our staff's out there and something comes along.
All right, Colleen, what about you? Tell me about maintenance at the state parks whenever you're trying to turn over the parks from winter to spring.
Oh, it's such a challenge. I was actually just thinking about it when, Tim, you were mentioning the Bluebell Trail at Three Creeks. It reminded me of Delaware State Park. There's this trail called Mink Run Trail where there's beautiful bluebells display. But unfortunately, in the spring, it floods quite often in that area, with Delaware State Park being right there along the Lantangie River. So similarly, you know, maintenance staff gets out there after every storm just to check and make sure that there's no trees down that are really blocking the trails. And a good place for us, for visitors to check our state parks, if you just go to the state park website, usually there's a banner right across the top of the website that will say any closures that have happened, or if there's construction or anything like that. And then, of course, like to mention too, our social media is a great place to check. So if you check Ohio State Parks Facebook page or at OH State Parks on Instagram, and then, of course, each of our parks, many of our parks have their own Facebook pages as well. Mm.
So, Andrew, are there parts of the Buckeye Trail? I'm assuming that you have to deal with this flooding issue as well.
Yep. Part of the Buckeye Trail goes underwater regularly, but our volunteers are out. There's never a time off throughout the year. It's just to build up in spring where more things become possible. Our certified chainsawyers are out throughout the winter and to clean up after
storms.
You
called them certified what?
Certified chainsawyers.
I don't know what that means.
We have a training program where we up people's skill level for chainsaw for safety purposes, and those are the ones that we allow and ask in times of need to go out and reopen a trail and take care of lots of downed trees. This month we have a work party schedule that we band together for a weekend or 5 days. So at Richfield Heritage Preserve, we'll be having one of our work parties, and down at Cave Lake with the Appalachian Foothills chapter, we'll be cutting trees off the trail to reopen a portion of the Buckeye Trail. So it's always busy, and we get our information from all sources, from social media and phone calls. You know, the trail is out, there's a tree down on the trail, and so it's constant activity all over the state of Ohio, keeping it open.
Tim, you were smiling. Do you have chainsaw warriors too?
Yes.
Do you call them that?
No, but I might steal the name from Andrew because it's a genius name. But...
And then, Colleen, does the state parks have chainsaw warriors as well? You got to constantly be cutting up trees.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I mean, thankfully, we have maintenance staff that go through all the chainsaw, you know, training and safety trainings and things like that. And they're all ready to go. You know, I've only helped assist with that a few times, thankfully, just clearing things out of the way for our staff who are trained to do that. And then we have volunteers that are allowed to use hand tools so that, you know, if there's something that's just down that someone can easily get with like a handsaw or something like that, we do have a lot of volunteers out there as well.
And Tim, I wanted to talk to you about a challenge you have going on for the spring called the Spring Into Step Challenge, where you need to visit at least 7 metro parks to earn a credit. But you also need a particular app. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, and I think Colleen will join us on this as well. But we have an app now. It's on Outer Spatial. And it's the Ohio Trails part of it. And it has every trail in the Metro Park system. And Colleen, I'm not sure if it's got every state park trail. And I know Andrew's trails are on it as well. This is a free app. It's geolocated. Open the app and it knows where you are, whether you're on a trail, or it'll tell you what trail is close for you to do. And then with Metro Parks, then we're doing a spring challenge to get you out on those trails with some gifts and giveaways for anybody who completes them all.
Yeah, we have a lot of nodding going on. Colleen, you want to talk about, so it's called the Outer Spatial app. Okay. Oh, Colleen, it looks like Colleen froze. Okay, we're going to pivot to Andrew.
Colleen can interrupt me, but the Buckeye Trail Association's partnering with ODNR on adding data to outer spatial as well. And so I was going to bring it up if you didn't, Tim. Colleen, if you check it out, there's a Grandma Gatewood hiking challenge to visit a certain number of certain state parks of ODNRs. And the Buckeye Trail, we're just now getting on there. The trail itself is there, but we, we're looking forward to building out our outer spatial presence as well. It's hikers have been calling for, I want a free app that tells me how far it is to my trail that I want to go visit, what's there, all kinds of information. So I think it's a great thing for the hiking community in Ohio.
Do you have to have signal for it to work? The app, I mean, you have to at least have something.
Yeah, you'll have to have some type of digital signal.
Yeah.
To GPS locate you.
Mm-hmm.
The beauty of Ohio is there's few and far between areas now that you can't pick up some kind of signal. And
okay.
I know on the Buckeye Trail, there's some areas you can't, even at Clear Creek, one of our parks, there's some areas that really don't have great coverage depending on your service.
So where did this outer spatial thing come from? Is it an app that's been around for a while? Is it, because I had never heard of it until just now when I was preparing for the show.
Well, yeah. Normally at Metro Parks, we don't give any credit when we steal something, but we actually worked with Ohio Department of Natural Resources when they were working through outer spatial, and we jumped on board when they did. When we last went to the Franklin County community, they told us they want an app that works. And what we didn't want to do is create an app that
was
problematic
yeah.
or needed updated all the time or... And this way, it's live. Just like Andrew said, Buckeye Trail can jump on. Your neighborhood parks can jump on. It's a really comprehensive app that works for everybody.
All right, Colleen, you are unfrozen now. So tell us about Outer Spatial and its work with the state parks.
Yeah, one thing I can really say, and it's such a great resource. I'm not somebody that necessarily, downloads tons of apps, but I highly, highly recommend this app for anyone that's looking to do some hiking around Central Ohio and beyond, throughout Ohio. One thing that I think is great is our trails administrators had our staff with boots on the ground kind of create the data for the trails at Ohio State Parks. So if visitors are using the Outer Spatial app, the trail data that you have there, you can be confident that it is accurate for that state park that you're in. I know there's lots of choices out there for apps, but if you're going to a local park or a state park, definitely use this app just to help you kind of realize where you are and where you are in relation to the other trails. And like Tim mentioned, if you do have cell service, you can actually see where you are on the app while you're using the map. And then if you're traveling somewhere kind of a little bit more remote in Ohio, you can always look at that data before you go, download, take screenshots, that kind of thing, and make sure you're prepared before you get out there.
Are you able to get all of the state parks on this app, or are you working on
yes.
it?
Yes.
You have them all on there? Oh, wow.
Yes, all the ones with trails, like any trail data that we had is up there.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I know you have 76 state parks. I don't know. Do you have a number off the top of your head how many trails that is? Or that's hundreds, right?
I can tell you. I have my, Ohio State Parks by the numbers in front of me. I can tell you that we have 1,112 miles of trail. A lot of our parks, we have 76 total state parks, 59 of them have campgrounds. And sometimes people also like to hike around the campground as well on the park roads and that kind of thing for a more accessible experience. And then I also want to point out, we just put out a new Ohio accessible trails guide. There's like a little, pamphlet Z-fold that opens up that can tell you which trails in the Ohio state parks are accessible. And then also includes state nature preserves and other ODNR properties. And this is available online in a PDF format as well, if you look for Ohio DNR Outdoors for All.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about spring hikes around Ohio and enjoying the outdoors as the weather warms up. With us is Colleen Sharkey from the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, Tim Maloney, Executive Director of Metro Parks, and Andrew Bashaw, Executive Director of the Buckeye Trail Association. And listeners, we'd love to have you join us to tell us your favorite place to visit as we head from winter into spring in Ohio. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Now, Colleen just mentioned accessibility for trails, and I know that's something that's important to Metro Parks. So a lot of your trails are paved, very accessible.
Yeah, our paved trails are by far our most popular. I mean, the Olentangy Trail sees over 1 million visitors a year. Mm-hmm. So the Olentangy Trail would be a fully accessible trail. But we even are now starting to go into assisted on the off non-paved trails. Our friends at Metro Parks is going to do a grant for a park so they can have an off-road wheelchair. So some of our off-paved trails are going to be accessible for people where they haven't been in the past.
And Andrew, the Buckeye Trail is a little more rugged. I'm sure there are some accessible areas, though.
Yep, we have a good mix. So even in Appalachian, Ohio, you can have a quarter-mile hike to Ash Cave in the Hocking Hills on a paved, accessible trail to get you to one of the most iconic places in the state of Ohio. As I said earlier in the program, you know, the Buckeye Trail overlaps with the Canal Towpath and abandoned right-of-ways, or abandoned railroad right-of-ways, such as the North Coast Inland Trail across North Central Ohio and across the Lake Plains, and other various places. We have some work to do. We would like to have our own Z-fold brochure to highlight those places on the Buckeye Trail, but I think ODNR is probably going to catch a lot of the ones on the Buckeye Trail that we have. But providing access to other folks, like kids that haven't used or experienced hiking before, it starts even earlier, like in the classroom. And so thanks again to ODNR. They created a program called Buckeye Trail Anywhere. It's a virtual hike of the Buckeye Trail for the classroom, for exercise purposes or exploring the history and geography of Ohio. And so it's not just good for grade schoolers. It's also good for senior citizens and anyone else who wants to track their miles that they're doing, even in Central Ohio, and track it in progress or in context of the entire Buckeye Trail experience. So that's pretty cool.
Wow. Okay. So I love that, the in-school connection. So they can basically pretend in their classroom that they're hiking on the trail and watch a video and like stomp along.
Yep.
Yeah. And just talking more about inclusivity, Tim, Metro Parks just opened an inclusive playground in Blendon Woods, right?
Well, unless you invented a time machine, it opens April 10th.
I'm sorry.
So you're really close.
What's today's day? I don't even know. Okay.
But we're really close. But yeah, in partnership with several other agencies, we've created an inclusive playground that really is 100% inclusive. Very unique. It's almost half an acre of space that you can get to with a wheelchair, a walker, with any type of challenge that you might have. Not only that, the restroom is fully accessible. Even going into this project, I thought most of our playgrounds were fully accessible. No, they were partially accessible. Mm-hmm. This playground is unique, and even more so unique, we're going to program it on certain times where it's an inclusive playground that is exclusive. That's a new phrase I'm using. But we might have a group of autistic children, or we might have some adults out there in times that they feel more comfortable. So it's not just for kids. It's built for every age group.
The pictures of it looks beautiful. I mean, you have some very nice, I have two kids, and I can say the Metro Parks have some pretty stellar playgrounds, but this one looks really beautiful.
Yeah, we're very excited about this and hope to see you there on April 10th.
April 10th, not yet. I'm sorry. I thought I guess whenever I read April, I just read the word April, not, all right, April 10th. We'll wait until then. And Colleen, just before we take the break, the state park have lots of lakes, of course, Lake Erie. When does boating season officially begin? I mean, we are in April here, but is there a date when people are not allowed or allowed to have boats out there?
Gosh, that's a great question. From a safety standpoint, you know, we do want to be concerned about the temperature of the water before we enter the waterways. I don't think there's, I think we try to encourage people to wait until May or June when the water's had a chance to really catch up with temperatures. One common thing that, we want to make sure that we share is to wear life jackets. You know, anytime you're out in the water enjoying that, make sure you have a life jacket on, make sure it's on, before you launch, just to keep you safe, so that if and when, something happens, you're ready to go. The life jacket can't help you if it's not on. So just make sure that you wear that. We have this campaign, Keep What Matters Afloat, and there's even some life jacket loaner stations going up at a lot of the parks.
So what you're basically saying is that lakes don't necessarily have like an opening day, but it just, it's a safety first kind of situation.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. And listeners, remember you can join us to tell us about your favorite spring hike, 614-292-8513, or send us an email at allsides@wosu.org. Coming up, we'll continue to talk about where you can hike in Ohio and enjoy the spring weather. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube, but what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Spring is here, and it's time to get outside. We're talking about spring hikes this hour. Still with us is Tim Maloney, Executive Director for Metro Parks. Thanks again for being here, Tim.
Hey, it's a great time.
Colleen Sharkey, Assistant Manager at the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. Thanks for being here, Colleen.
Oh, of course. Thanks.
And Andrew Bashaw, Executive Director of the Buckeye Trail Association. Thanks again for staying with us, Andrew.
Thank you.
And listeners, what is your favorite spring hike? Let us know by calling 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Colleen, obviously, Hocking Hills is a favorite destination. It always has been. If you have a novice hiker out there who's maybe visiting Hocking Hills for the first time, what would you recommend that they do?
Oh, yeah. For a novice hiker, I would definitely recommend that they check in at the visitor center first before embarking on the trail. And if they're kind of up for, you know, a little bit of elevation change, some stairs, things like that, of course, the Old Man's Cave Trail is popular. It's iconic. I would recommend everyone try that if they are able and haven't done so beforehand. But some other hikes I want to highlight around the area are the Whispering Cave hike. Also accessible there, you know, from the visitor center. They can share directions and use that outer spatial app for sure to make sure you're on the right path. That's just an incredible hike, and it's just breathtaking. And, you know, another one of those rock outcroppings that you kind of feel like you're in a cave. And then also nearby, so if you're at Hocking Hills State Park and you have a little bit of a chance to explore, maybe visit the nearby Conkles Hollow State Nature Preserve. Mm-hmm. And there's two hikes you can do there. There's one that just goes straight through the gorge, so it's a little bit more accessible. It has kind of a concrete path that leads straight into the gorge, only about a half mile hike, so good for families or you know, anyone of all ages. And then if you're interested in a more, you know, kind of extreme adventure, you can also hike up to the Rim Trail up top. And you'll have to climb a lot of stairs for that one, but it's really a great hike for some wonderful views of the area.
While you were talking about those hikes, Andrew was nodding along. I'm assuming you've been on some of those.
Yeah.
All of those.
I've been on all of those.
Andrew lives in the Athens area, so.
Yeah, they're all wonderful.
Perfect.
Tim, what would you recommend whenever someone asks you, you know, if they want to go hiking in a metro park, but they are maybe taking their kids with them or they're not much of a hiker? Where do people start?
Since we're 20 parks all over Central Ohio, every single park is a great place to go. We have trails of different abilities on all of them. But if it's really your first time and you want to get out and see Ohio, what it could be, if you're on the north side of town, you can't go wrong at High Banks. Mm-hmm. And if you got a limited time and you want to hit something, go to the Dripping Rock Trail and just go to the Nature Center, walk out the back door. You're in a, you know, a ravine that really is unchanged for, you know, centuries. It's just an easy trail with a little bit of elevation change. If you want to stay away from the elevation change, you can do anything at Three Creeks. It's along three different river corridors, relatively flat. And then if you want to move a little bit southeast, kind of down towards the Athens area, Chestnut Ridge is a hidden gem. And there are three trails right off the main part of the park. If you go to the right, it's got some elevation gain. And you go out to an overlook, you can see downtown Columbus from 20 miles away. It's spectacular. But yeah, any park you go to will have trails at all abilities. And then if you really want some elevation gain, and Colleen was talking about down at Hocking Hills, just up the road from Hocking Hills is Clear Creek. And we've got some trails. I like to describe it as Hocking Hills light, meaning there's okay. not as many people, and it's much more primitive. It doesn't have the big nature centers and all of that. It's really a way to disappear in Ohio.
And Colleen, I wanted to talk to you for a minute about Salt Fork State Park. Now, talking about fracking is beyond the scope of this conversation, but I was wondering if visitors to the park will notice anything different. Will there be more traffic or visible trucks? Are the fracking sites visible to park visitors at Salt Fork?
You know, there may be depending on which areas you're in, for sure. But one thing I want to make sure people know about is actually coming up on Earth Day, April 22nd, we're going to have a ribbon cutting on the new Eco Discovery Center at Salt Fork State Park, which has messaging about sustainability and kind of being, you know, just making sure that we're all mindful more about how, what our impact is. So I want to make sure everybody knows about that. So if you're exploring this summer, definitely check out the new Eco Discovery Center. And Salt Fork is really huge. You know, there's so many things to do there. Gosh, you know, there's a lodge, there's camping, of course, a beautiful lake, lots of great trails too. There's just a lot to see. And it's in that area of Ohio, as you mentioned, like there's just the rolling hills, and a lot of areas that have been impacted by fracking. In many cases, restoration efforts might have included some pollinator habitat that was planted too. So, and those areas can be enjoyed later in the summer, like maybe July, August. You know, that's when those things really just take fire with blooms in the later season.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that Eco Discovery Center because the pictures of it are beautiful. I mean, it looks like quite the little facility. It has solar panels on it, so it's sustainable,
yes.
And it's going to have hands-on exhibits. Can you tell us about some of that you're adding to Salt Fork? Because full disclosure, so Salt Fork State Park is exactly halfway between Columbus and Pittsburgh, and my family is from Pittsburgh, so that's where all the cousins are for my kids. So so 3 times every summer we meet at Salt Fork State Park because it's exactly halfway, and we have a beach day at Salt Fork. So I am thrilled that you're adding a Discovery Center because it's another thing to do, and it looks great. So can you tell me more about it?
Oh, for sure. Oh my gosh. So basically the purpose of it is just to help engage people in all those little things that we can all do in our own lives to be more sustainable. So there's going to be rain barrels, composters, you know, like you mentioned, the solar, just, you know, not everything is something someone can do in their own home. But the exhibits will all focus on just a variety of ways that we can be more sustainable in our lives. And I know that there are going to be some, actually they've had to tweak some of the exhibits. They're making sure that they're really, you know, that kids are able to interact with them and that they're strong enough to hold up to kids that are kind of running around in the area. So
they got to withstand 1,000 touches. Yeah,
exactly. For sure. And they really embrace Bigfoot culture there. So I just this morning saw a picture of the Bigfoot sculpture that will be there right outside. And then there's going to be one indoors too.
Yeah, the lodge has a Bigfoot sculpture as well. Yes, just full disclosure, Salt Fork State Park is my favorite state park. So if you're supposed to not pick a favorite child, but I Salt Fork has my heart, especially because it's kind of in the middle of nowhere, you know, and it's so huge. You can spend forever at Salt Fork. I digress. I will stop talking about Salt Fork State Park. But Tim, can you tell me about some events you have coming up? I was reading about an Earth Day tree planting event on your website.
Yeah, so we have many events taking place the whole month of April in celebration of Earth Day. And really each
You're gonna make it Earth Month. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Earth Year. Let's go. Okay. Let's just do it right.
It's always,
So best place to check that is on our website, metroparks.net, to find out what's close to you or what attracts you the most. The other thing that I totally forgot to mention when you mentioned accessible hikes.
Yeah.
Less than a year ago, we opened our canopy walk at Black Lick Woods Metro Park.
Oh, yes. Okay.
This is a canopy walk, 40 feet in the air, not quite half a mile long. You can be at a bird level walking through the forest. And what makes it even more unique is it's fully accessible. It has an elevator that can take you all the way to the top. It's got a play area at the top. It's got a place to bird watch. It's got a rope bridge. To say that it's been popular is an understatement. Mm. We've been open less than a year and have seen, I don't know, 1,200,000 to 1,300,000 visitors. But yeah, you have to get there.
Yeah, I've seen photos of people enjoying it where they look like they're the only one there. And then I've seen photos of people where there's like a line. So have you experienced all kinds of things?
Yeah, it's actually calmed down quite a bit. Now, the staff there would say this past weekend it wasn't very calm, but it's there every day. It's open. It's free. Find the time for you. And it's a great place to get, especially when you're visitors from Pittsburgh come to Columbus.
Yes.
Take them there. It's spectacular.
Absolutely. So I want another thing I wanted to talk about was bringing pets on different trails. So Andrew, for the Buckeye Trail, I'm assuming that, you know, you can bring your pet in most parts of it. if you want to hike with your dog. I don't know.
it's complicated. Most of the Buckeye Trail is there by the generosity of the host, the land manager. Mm-hmm. So we go through 18 of those 76 state parks, but also wildlife areas, natural areas and preserves, 100 different towns. And so each of those pieces of land has their own rules about what you may and may not do.
Hmm.
So ODNR, state nature preserves, no pets, state parks. Colleen can comment on that, but yes, you know, open to taking your dog with you, but maybe not all different kinds of animals. Hmm. So on our maps and our section maps and our apps and that sort of thing, it's always to plan your hike, you have to check in and see what kind of land you're on and plan appropriately. Can you camp? Is there water? Can you take a pet?
Okay.
So you have to prepare a little bit.
All right, Colleen, what about pet-friendly parts of state parks?
Yeah, visitors are welcome to bring their pet with them to the Ohio State Parks. And just we'd ask that you please, you know, keep your pet on a leash just for the enjoyment of other visitors as well. But like Andy just mentioned, for the state nature preserves, those are areas where you want to make sure you don't bring your pet with you that day. But yeah, all of the state parks, you can have your pet with you.
And Tim, tell me about pets with Metro Parks.
Andrew said it best when he said it's complicated. So all 20 of our Metro Parks have pet-friendly areas. Some of our parks are pet-friendly for the entirety. Some are much more restricted, such as Enniswood Metro Gardens. There's very limited areas for pets. And then it gets a little more unique if you go to Rocky Fork up in the New Albany area. We actually have an off-leash trail just for pets.
Oh, okay.
So we've heard from our customers, well, you know, Fido's a really good dog and doesn't like to be on a leash. Well, we have an option for that up at Rocky Fork as well.
Okay. So I'm assuming that on your website, this is all like laid out where you can do's and don'ts.
Absolutely. And there's so many that I just refer people back to the website to, much like Andrew, just check locally.
All right. Well, we're running out of time. And so in the final few minutes we have, I want to let each of you either tell me a favorite hike we haven't talked about or an event you have coming up. Colleen, do you want to start?
Oh, I would love to. Okay. So Maumee Bay State Park, if you get up there and you're just looking for a weekend away, it just nothing beats being up on the lake. And the Maumee Bay State Park Boardwalk Trail that is accessible right from the Nature Center, they did a lot of improvement to that over the winter. So I would highly recommend checking that out sometime this spring or anytime this season.
Okay. And Tim, what's an event you have coming up?
So we have started urban backpacking, which in the Columbus area, we have two different parks that you can backpack overnight. Scioto Grove is really for introductory, the first time you've ever backpacked. The farthest walk you're going to have is maybe a quarter of a mile. Mm-hmm. We've got restrooms, we've got running water, different things like that.
My husband's taking my kids there. I am not a camper. I'm going to just, you know, another disclosure of me, no camping. But he loved it, absolutely loved it.
If he loved that, then Battelle Darby has it a little more advanced than that. You can go a little further distances, a little more primitive on the restrooms. And then they're going to kill me for mentioning this because we know it's going to fill. But our outdoor adventure team is going to start kayak packing this summer.
Oh.
So where you will actually kayak to where you're going to sleep and then kayak back to where you started or maybe further downriver and we'll shuttle you back.
Wait, which park is that at?
We don't know yet. Or I think they know. I don't know yet because they know I do things like talk on the radio about their programs. But check them out through their social media site, Outdoor Adventure. And they promote through there, and they're a great team and a lot of fun.
Okay, well, that sounds like a lot of fun. All right, Andrew, is there something coming up for the Buckeye Trail that you haven't mentioned yet?
Yeah, real quick, you can go to Maumee Bay, Colleen's suggestion, at our Buckeye Trail Fest coming up the second weekend of September. So we're looking forward to taking Colleen's advice. But if you want to hike all 1,400 miles of the Buckeye Trail in one day, in one day. You can join us on the first Saturday in June is National Trails Day, and we have dubbed it the Buckeye Trail's biggest day hike. And so together, we're all going to hike the entire Buckeye Trail in one day. We've only gotten as close as 89%.
Oh, really? Okay, so it's like a tag team thing. Okay.
Yep. Sign up for a segment of the Buckeye Trail that you love or would like to explore and be a part of it, and we're going to do it.
Okay, so you've tried this before and you got almost 90%? Is that okay?
You gonna do it, Tim?
Absolutely. This is fascinating.
All right. All
right. I'm going to do the section at Burr Oak. That sounds amazing.
All right. So Colleen has signed up. She's going to do a part of it. Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us to talk about spring hikes and spring trails. We've been talking with Tim Maloney, Executive Director for Metro Parks. Thank you for joining us, Tim.
Thanks.
And Colleen Sharkey, Assistant Manager for the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. Thanks for being here, Colleen.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
And also Andrew Bashaw, Executive Director of the Buckeye Trail Association. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Amy.
And this has been All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich.